In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Paul, in our reading from Timothy today, addresses those who aspire to the office of bishop or overseer. It might appear at first glance that St. Paul, and I along with him, is preaching to the choir, since the reason most of you are here is precisely because you do aspire to the office of overseer. And what about you who are not pastors-to-be or pastors already? You might think that there is nothing of concern here for you at all. In regard to you non-pastors, however, there is plenty here also for you, and I will come back to you at the end of the sermon. As for you pastors-to-be, it never hurts to preach to the choir, since even the choir needs to keep on hearing God's word. Paul begins our text by writing, "If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work." It would have been so much easier for all of us if Paul had simply put a period at this point and moved on to his next topic. Of course, since early Greek manuscripts did not have punctuation, Paul could not have done that even if he had wanted to. But St. Paul doesn't even put a metaphorical period here. He continues by enumerating a number of qualifications or characteristics of a pastor. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well. This list of characteristics of a good pastor might at first surprise us. After all, the Lutheran Church has often enough been blamed for considering too highly the theological characteristics of a pastor and not giving enough attention to the personal characteristics of a pastor. Certainly, we stress academic accomplishment at the seminary. There are certain academic requirements to meet in order to graduate. St. Paul himself doesn't ignore this. He mentions able to teach as one characteristic of the pastor, and it is difficult to be able to teach without knowing what you are teaching. But our seminary does not ignore the personal characteristics and interpersonal abilities of our students. Various activities, both formal, fieldwork and vicarage, and informal, such as interaction with other students and professors, give students the ability to grow not only theologically, but also personally. Precisely because we stress the theological side of preparation for the ministry is a good reason to pay attention to St. Paul this morning. In addition, our culture seems to care less and less about personal characteristics as long as the results obtained by an individual are desirable. The main question for many people is, have I benefited any from this person's work? Many people in our culture seem to have lost interest in characteristics such as these: blamelessness, sober-mindedness, having good behavior, not violent, not covetous, having a good testimony among others. St. Paul's words are not, however, culture-bound. His requirements for a pastor still stand. A pastor after God's own heart still looks like the one described here. I think I can say with a fair amount of certainty that you who are aspiring to be pastors will leave here with sound theology. Satan will not usually be able to mess you up in your understanding of the God-centeredness of the divine service or in your understanding of the benefits of the sacraments. So where Satan will mess you up is precisely in those areas listed here. It would take a while to list the names of all the pastors and evangelists who have made a shambles of the pastoral office during the last 50 years by a lack of personal credibility. But Satan doesn't even have to bring you to the point of a ruined ministry. Being gentle, not quarrelsome, is not easy. And Satan will delight in making you think that you have failed by your undue reaction in a voters' meeting or with a particular parishioner. And Satan will convince you that you don't deserve to forgive sins, but should only be on the receiving end of forgiveness. And the proper answer to Satan is, you're right. I don't deserve to be here. But the same forgiveness that I proclaim is also mine. That forgiveness is mine not because I deserve it, but because of the mercy of God and because of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ in my place also. As for my office, God has placed me in this office to which I aspired, and it is by His authority that I carry out its duties. And God will give you not only the authority to carry out your pastoral duties, but the power to live the blameless, perfect life of the pastor as the Holy Spirit continues to work in you to make you the instrument of God that God wants. Just last week, Dr. Wenthe gave the charge to the new pastors who were placed at the service on Tuesday. He began this way. Go then, take heed unto thyself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made thee an overseer. In view of St. Paul's words, it is not surprising that the charge does not begin with taking heed of the flock, but with taking heed of yourself. For what St. Paul requires of a pastor does require that you pay serious and careful attention to yourself. Not only of your theology, but of your life. It is the Holy Spirit Himself, of course, who makes that life of integrity possible and attainable. The charge that Dr. Wenthe used ends with that stress. The Lord bless thee from on high and make thee a blessing unto many, that thou mayest bring forth fruit and that thy fruit may remain unto eternal life. I now return to those of you who are not directly addressed by our text because you are not studying to be pastors. St. Paul ended his letter to the Christians at Ephesus by writing, "Praying always for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains." St. Paul was one of the greatest saints the world has known. God spoke to him directly. He lived and worked with some of our Lord's apostles. He did more than probably any other man in establishing Christianity in the world. And if St. Paul needed the prayers of his fellow Christians in carrying on his work, then certainly the pastors of today need the prayers of fellow Christians. A pastor, as well as a layperson, belongs to the communion of saints. A pastor, as well as a layperson, lives his Christian life not as a lone wolf, but in a Christian community. A pastor, as well as a layperson, depends on the body of Christ for Christian support. Being a man of the gospel and a man of integrity is no small matter, as you have already heard. Thus, you who are not aspiring to the office of a pastor are still involved in this text as you help, support, and pray for your pastor, that he would be the man that St. Paul talks about in our text, a man, a pastor after God's own heart. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. The Lord bless you from on high and make you a blessing to many, whether by being a pastor after God's own heart or by supporting one who is a pastor after God's own heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.